Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. The agents wrote the copy and managed the timelines, while our human creative director made sure it all made sense. Easy. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to an episode of Fungela. On this episode, I have my friend Camille Guadi is joining us. And you may have seen her on the movie Gotta Kick It Up, on Prison Break. You may have seen her recurring role on The Rookie. That's my mom's favorite show. She really loved her in that. You may have seen her in Scorpion. She's a talented, talented actress. She has a new movie coming out, Harold and the Purple Crayon, comes out in August, so you can check her out in that. And on this episode, we jump into gratitude and how she is grateful for her journey into motherhood using an egg donor. We talk about her gratitude for being in this entertainment industry, consistently working at a time when there's not much work happening, and so much more. It's just filled with such goodness and gratitude. So come take a listen to my conversation with Camille Guadi. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Fungela. This time, I have a guest, you guys. Please welcome my homegirl, Camille Guadi.
Hello.
The crowd goes wild.
Please, thank you, thank you, thank you, everybody. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yes. Please, sit down. You guys, sit down,
no,
please.
Honestly, yeah, please. Please.
Camille, I've known you for so long now. This is wild. You started in the industry before me because I would be watching you on TV and be like, ooh, I'm going to be an actress too. But I've known you for years and we actually started auditioning for the same things. And yeah, that's kind of how we really connected, was like at auditions.
Yeah.
And I have a picture, and I know you've seen it because I think we send it to each other every time it comes up in our memories. We're like, yeah, hey, remember when we were young? Look at our skin.
Glowing babies.
It's this picture of us at an audition, and it's me, you, Angelique Cabral, Nadine yeah, Velasquez, right?
Yeah, and yeah, I think that's it, right?
Yeah, I think it's just us. Danielle, do you have that picture? Pull it up if you have it. But this was like back in the day. I remember the caption was like, if there's an audition for Latina, guarantee we will all be there.
And then we did it again. Then wasn't there like another, we were testing for a show and it was me,
oh, yeah,
and you,
and none of us got it.
And none of us got it. Then they went white. No.
They're like, you know what? We're going to stick to what worked. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That is crazy. That is like anytime I'm in one of those situations, like a test or something, I'm like, for sure, Camille's going to be there. And then now to the point where, like, I don't even get the test. And then I'll just see you on TV. I'll be like, oh, good for Camille. She's out there.
Stop. Oh, my God.
Good for Camille. She out there crushing it. Or you post on your Instagram, like, hey, I'm on this new TV show. And I'd be like, I didn't audition for that one. I didn't even know there was an audition for that one. Good for you, Camille.
Oh, my God. Stop.
You much. See the picture?
Oh, there it is.
I finally figured out how to screen that.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Look how young so we are.
Wait, young. Which one's Nadine? Where is she?
All the way on the right.
Oh, she's on the right.
Yep.
My eyes. Guys, literally, my eyes are going.
Oh my gosh. Well, yeah, that's true. Cause
like going,
I'm looking at this picture. It's so far away though. I'm looking at it from memory. I'm like,
right, right. Oh yeah. Look at me on the left. Oh no, Camille, that's not you. That's
it also looks like you guys on a studio lot.
Yes, we were.
Yeah. I think that was Paramount.
Who is the guy? We were all testing with that guy.
Yeah. Who knows what even happened to that show? I don't think any of us booked that one either.
No, I don't think any of us did. None of us did.
Oh my gosh.
Lord.
We were so young. So look it, we're not even that jaded yet.
No. No, not at all. At that time, like none of us were even like even thinking about babies.
Yeah. No. Oh no. Yeah, look at that.
You could tell by how we're dressed.
Yeah, look at those red pants.
Look at our boobies all perky.
Boobies are perky.
Look at those non-breastfed boobies.
The hair is full. Not falling out.
Look at that.
I'm like speaking up.
Yeah.
Hairline's great. No grays. Mm-mm.
Look at and I love it. I hadn't even had Botox yet. That was like that's pre-Botox skin.
Oh, right not there. Me. I had it one time. I have a funny story about that.
Tell me.
Okay, so I got this show, shooting it in New York. My facialist in LA was like, oh, I got a great guy, Park Avenue, plastic surgeon. I'm like, oh, okay. So I go to him. He starts marking up my face. I'm like, hey, just letting you know, I'm an actress. Like, it's the first time I've done this. I need to move my face. And he's like, yeah, no. This is my first rodeo, honey. I'm like, okay. $1,000
No.
I paid.
Oh, my God.
Then I cannot move my forehead. Like, no. To save my life, I can't move anything. Nothing. And I kid you not, I can find this for you because no one's going to believe me. But in the script, it was with Bobby Cannavale and Sarah Paulson, who are amazingly talented actors.
Yeah.
And it was the first day. I didn't even have a line. I just had to. It says, Lita turns the corner and with a furrowed brow. No. And this is day one of this series, and they worked all day. This is the last shot of the day, and they're like, hey, Camille, we're gonna stay for your eye line. And I was like, oh guys, no, you don't have to, please, it's been a really long day for you, please go home. And they're like, Camille, it's gonna take what, like one take, just we're gonna stay. And I was like, okay.
Oh no.
So I turn the corner and I'm like, and they're like, the director's like, cut. So you look a little angry. And I was like, that's what they say. They say you look angry. And he's like, can we just do it again? Like, just like, you know, inquisitive. And I was like, yeah, sure, of course. And they do it again. No. And they're like, cut. Okay, you look surprised. And I was like, that's the other thing they say is you look surprised. So I was just like, seven takes. They were like, at the end, they were like, we got it. And yeah, tail between my legs. Didn't say goodbye to anybody. I was so mortified. I had to tell everybody eventually. I'm like, I got this thing called Botox.
This brand new thing. I'm sure none of you have ever heard of it.
You know, and I can't move my forehead. Like, at all. Not even like, no. I was like, this sucks.
I would have led with that. I would have been like, okay, listen, I know in the scene it says furrowed brow. How do you feel about a furrowed lip? Can we do pouty lips? How about like pout in her lip
like this? Like no eye movement, like none. It was
how do you feel about a
Can I just say,
That's wild. What was that project?
Cupid.
All right, we're all gonna look for it.
Cupid.
We're all gonna look for Camille on
episode
Cupid.
One, guys.
Did they keep that shot?
Do you know? I don't know. I don't even know if I watched it. I was so mortified.
Yeah, we're gonna look for it. Everybody, check out Camille in Cupid, episode one. Look for the furrowed brow.
Lord.
Well, listen, Camille, we are here and we got some stuff to talk about. We are grateful for some things in our life. We have been in this industry a long time. We have many opportunities to get jaded, but we have so much to be grateful for. And that's what this podcast is about, is talking about what we're grateful for. But before we do, we're going to start with a mattitude. Mm. What is something that has been annoying you lately, pissing you off, or even just like that nagging, just so we can just get it out of our body, let it go, and then we'll just move into gratitude after that.
Okay. My husband when he eats with his mouth open.
Oh, no. Yes. Girl, on board. I am on board with this mattitude.
No, for real. No, you know what's so funny, though? I can listen to my dog chew or my child chew. Yep. I love it. Yeah. But when my husband chews, I'm like, what is wrong with you?
It is like the chalkboard sound. I am telling you. I'm the same way. Same exact way. When Rosie eats like mouth open, just food everywhere.
You're just like,
Oh, you're the cutest thing. My husband spills on himself like 3 times a day, and it has nothing to do with me. It's his dirty shirt. But every time he does it, I'm like, ugh, like I'm so annoyed at your dirty shirt.
Like, come on. I always say to my husband, because he spills a lot as well, I'm like, tuck in. Move in. If your plate's over here and your body's over here, you're clearly going to spill. Like, it's going to happen. Oh, no. But for real, okay, I do have a mattitude. I have a mattitude because it's getting into the summer months and everyone wants to go to the beach or lay out or do this and that. And I have this lovely thing called melasma. Mm-hmm. Melasma. Hyperpigmentation. It is the bane of my summer existence in the sun or any time in the sun.
Where do you have it?
Everywhere. You can't see it?
No.
Oh, girl,
you're covering it really well.
Oh, I do need glasses from this far.
Okay, so I have the mustache.
Same.
Melasma, mm-hmm. Which is horrible. And then I have what looks like... kind of freckles, but they're not, or it looks like a line. It's like all up in here and all up in here. And the worst, though, is here.
The mustache. So
it's here and like sometimes in here where people are like, do you have makeup running down? I'm like, no.
No, I have a hormone imbalance.
Okay. and it started when I started doing IVF and, you know, you're taking all the hormones and they even start you on birth control. And I think I remember you saying something one time with birth control, I think. Was it with
Let
you?
Me see. What was it? I'll tell you.
I don't know. I remember like something with birth control and melasma.
Yeah. Yeah. The hormones.
Yeah. And it's like... you just can't get rid of it. And I love going to estheticians who are like, we're just going to do a laser. And then they do this laser. And I'm like, well, for some reason, it's worse.
laser.
That didn't work.
Yeah.
But I finally found this like Middle Eastern doctor who talks about it. And he's like, basically, it's never going to go away.
Oh.
Like we can do a million treatments, right? And it'll lighten. But the minute you have one moment in the sun, it just goes right back.
Damn it.
I know.
So we just have to radically accept it.
Or we have to radically wrap our faces up in like a burqa style.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Or we're
what
the
one. Melasma. I don't know what melasma is.
It's hyperpigmentation of your skin. So it's like she looks like she has a mustache because it's a tan. It's a dark tan. Where her like mustache would be,
and it just that's gets where I darker have it. Than the rest
in
of
the
your
sun.
Skin.
Yeah, in the sun.
Yeah.
So if you're not wearing makeup to cover it up, you look like you have a mustache, and
it's darker. That's where I have darker pigments of your skin, just like everywhere. I'm like, what is happening? And you wear hats, and I'm like, 100 people are like, just wear good sunblock. I'm like, honey, I have like 5 sunblocks on my face right now.
We're gonna be like the surfers with that white.
Yes.
You know, just right a white here mustache just walking around. Why do you have that? So I don't look dumb.
None of your business.
Yeah. My friend has melasma right where a teardrop would be, so she just looks like she got out of prison and she did hard time, like she's out there just committing murders with a teardrop melasma under her eye.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah,
melasma. And I got melasma. I haven't been in the sun lately because I'm very pale, so it's not as, you know, vibrant right now. But my rosacea, girl.
That too.
You got rosacea too?
Yes.
Oh, the rosacea is the one where I'm just like, I radically accept that I am just rosy cheeks. And but really, it has a lot to do with my gut, I think, and like health. Like if I'm not eating like super clean, then my rosacea flares up. I think it has a lot to do with that. That's me not being a doctor, just TikToking. That's me TikToking.
But I think I think you're right, because it may have to do with inflammation.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is.
Right? Like autoimmune stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Look at us over here.
Listen, if you learn anything from this podcast, take medical advice from us. We got this thing called Botox.
You're so right.
Yeah. But I do think rosacea, you can get rid of it with laser. Don't quote me.
Really?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't think so.
No? Have you been to people?
Because, okay, the hyperpigmentation, that's like the tan of the skin, but the rosacea is inflamed. So I feel like if you laser it, you're going to inflame it more.
Have you seen me inflamed from lasers?
Oh my gosh, should we show that picture?
No. Maybe. Actually, I have not let that out yet.
No.
No one has seen that. I mean, people have seen it. And they are thankful that I made them laugh for a long time. That's, people don't believe.
That's me. A good match. Tell everybody the match. We don't have to show the picture, but tell them what
I'm like,
happened.
What happened?
So in trying to get rid of my hyperpigmentation and also it tightens the skin at the same time, I was getting this laser done. And what happens to me is my face, my skin reacts. I figured this out. It reacts as if I have a burn. And with burns, fluid, your body creates fluid underneath the surface. When I tell you, I look like probably like a shallow Hal. Like my, there's a face in there somewhere. It's right in the middle. And my face blew up like a Cabbage Patch doll. My husband was like, "You look like a Cabbage Patch kid." And I was like, I know, just, and I would walk and my face would move, like jiggle from the liquid that was in it. It was
trying to heal you.
Yeah, it was not good.
Oh, no.
And I thought, oh, it's not going to happen, because I've done this twice, guys. Like, I'm like, oh, it's not going to happen this time. Cut to 10 p.m. and I'm like, here she is.
Oh, no. When you sent me that picture, Camille and I were chatting and she was telling me about it. I was like, no way. She goes, no, I'm going to send you a picture. And I'm like, okay, yeah, send it. She goes, okay, but you have to delete it immediately. And I was like, oh, my God, send me this picture. I'm so intrigued. It really was like those movies, like that scene where like Will Smith has that allergic reaction to the shrimp in that one movie with Eva Mendes.
Hitch.
I forget what it's called. Yeah. Yes, Hitch. It really did look like that. And I was like, oh, should you go to the hospital? You're like, no, I'm fine. And I was like, no, I think you might want to go to the hospital. You're like, no, I'm good. Trust me. This is my second time I've done this. I was like, Camille, stop doing this.
She was so scared that she was like, is this the treatment that you did? Because I want to make sure I never do this.
Then I was going to get ready to do a treatment. And I was like, let me check with Camille first to make sure this is not
like,
what she
did. This is not what you did, right? Like, no. And by the way, I'm in the like one percentile of this happening to people. Like people were like, I'm going to do this. I want to do this to you because I think I can do it where it's not going to happen. I'm like, oh, okay. Go for it. Let's try. It's free? Okay, go for it.
It's free. Sponsorship? Try it.
Okay. But if I blow up, I'm not posting it.
Yeah, wild. Well, those are some really good attitudes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am on board with all of those, from the husbands not knowing how to eat properly to faces blowing up. We got to deal with a lot.
Yeah, we do. Camille. Right? It's aging, man.
I'm so glad we let that out of our body. But let's move into gratitude and let's just raise our vibration to that highest frequency, because that's what gratitude does. We just raise our vibration to the highest frequency and then we just go out there and we manifest good stuff by talking about all the good stuff in our life already. So what are some things in life that you are grateful for?
Gosh, there is so much, right? I am grateful that I'm a mother.
Mm-hmm.
That was a very hard journey for me, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
tell people a little bit about your process.
Yeah, so I'm basically, I didn't think I was going to have an issue getting pregnant. And at 38, I started trying. Of course, I thought I was pregnant like the first time we did it.
You're like, oh, I think I feel nauseous, babe.
No, I told. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not kidding. I was 10 days late. I'm never late. My boobs were big and I was like, I'm amazing. Like, I'm pregnant. This happened so quick. And no, it didn't work. Got my, you know, all the things that happened didn't work. So that kept on happening. And I was like, oh, shoot. Okay. So I ended up having to do 4 years of IVF treatments, that is like IUIs and, I mean, drugs, like all sorts of drugs and traveling my husband because I was on a show, like all this stuff happening. Could not get pregnant. Transferred 22 of my own embryos. Nothing took. And we finally decided to go the donor egg route because my eggs were the ones that weren't working. Mm-hmm. And we did. That was also not simple and easy, mm-hmm. but we got one embryo mm-hmm. from using two donors. We got one embryo, and that one golden embryo is my little boy.
Oh, and we love him.
And we love him to death. He is.
How old is he now?
He's four. Mm-hmm. And so I am eternally grateful for the egg donor, mm-hmm. For the community that has come with egg donation. And, you know, it's something that when, you know, I came out in truth of saying my story, which mm-hmm. I didn't have to.
Right.
And I always say there's a thing between secrecy and privacy. And yes. I could have chosen the privacy route yeah. and not said anything. But then at the same time, I remember seeing, you know, People Magazine and everything with these actresses getting pregnant. And I was like, I wonder how many of them have had issues and mm-hmm. no one's talking about it.
Yeah.
And I felt just connected to sharing in celebration
yeah.
of the path that we chose and the path that we're on. And it doesn't come without trials and tribulations because there's a lot that we have to navigate.
Yeah.
But we did it. And there's such a stigma with it. And I decided to talk about it to kind of try to erase mm-hmm. the stigma, to try to pave the way for the future of my child and other parents that are also choosing egg donor or sperm donor.
had you known anybody who had done egg donor before? Egg mm. donorship? I don't know how to say it.
Yeah. Egg donorship. Yes. One of my actually close friends, but she hadn't spoken to her child about it yet. And her.
Oh.
So it was a very private matter and yeah. none of her friends knew, wow. but I did.
Wow.
So I knew already that there was a stigma and a shame with it. I knew because I didn't want to do it.
Right.
I was like, this is the biggest FOMO, you know, whatever, what is it? YOLO? No, it's FOMO.
FOMO's, yeah, fear of missing
sorry,
out.
You guys, I'm like, no. This is my age.
We're in our 40s.
Is it FOMO or is it YOLO? You know, like, YOLO. What is happening? delete. I'm trying to be cool and it didn't work. Oh my God.
But you have YOLO. You got it.
You know, YOLO. Yeah. No, it was FOMO, where I wasn't going to be a part of this. Yeah. I felt like the egg donor was going to be a part of this. Mm. And because it was her egg wow. and it wasn't my egg and it was, you know, fertilized with my husband's sperm. And it just felt like this was going to be like a foreign mm. being in my body. Mm-hmm. And man, shifting that lens to just being grateful yeah. and in gratitude for this woman wow. who has made me a mother.
Wow.
Was the best thing that happened to me. I don't know how it happened. It was a lot of work to get mm-hmm. there. Did not happen overnight. I'll tell you.
Did you get there before you actually
yes.
did the process?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Had yeah. to. I was not going to be on board until I was there.
Yeah.
And and I did a lot of therapy with my husband as well. And it just was, it was like a lens shift. And when that happened, it just like, you just saw everything differently. Wow. And I no longer was jealous of her. I was grateful for her.
Wow.
And now he's four and I've like stalked her out. I'm like, I know her Instagram. She's beautiful. She has a little boy. Aww. And there's like a different part of me. I'm like, I just want to reach out to her.
She doesn't know who you are.
She doesn't know me at all, but she's, you know, she entered the world. She's donated her eggs.
Yeah.
So she understands all of this and she probably wants no part of, I have no idea. But the thing that happens when you stand in gratitude in this situation is you start to become less fearful mm-hmm. of her, of what that means, uh-huh. of what, you know, because strangers or people that don't know, that aren't educated in what this is, say, yeah. oh, well, the mother, and I was like, yes, me. Yeah. Uh-huh. Me, I'm the
present.
Mom.
Yes,
I mean, my mom even said it. Yeah. Well, the mother, and I said, well, no.
Yeah,
mom, I'm the mom. She's the egg donor.
Yes,
she. I mean, if you want to get scientific, she donated gametes, right? Mm. And that's DNA. She donated her DNA, and to become a mother is something completely different. Mothering is a verb. Like she's not mothering. I'm the mom, and but she is still a part of his life, and I welcome that in the sense that I look at her as, you know, an extended family, because that's part of his story, right? Mm-hmm. His genetics, is part of his story, and one day I'm going to be brave enough, and one day soon I'm going to be brave enough to put. Her picture and, you know, our picture, and like make a book to show him everything. Her parents, maybe her boy, because her boy is technically, if we're going to get technical about everything, it is his half sibling.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
True. And if he ever does one of them little DNA tests,
he's
going to
find, he's going to find out.
Yeah.
So it's important. The responsibility that comes with choosing this path is a big one. Mm-hmm. And I'm learning more about it every day. And being open has been very helpful. And the community that I'm a part of has been very helpful.
Do you, when you choose to go the donor route, do these women have like a don't ever contact me thing, or sure, you can contact me. I would love to see where my eggs went. Is that a thing?
Yes. So it's called anonymous or disclosed or non-disclosed or anonymous and non-anonymous. But here's the thing that's happening, that's changing for the better. It's been... anonymous has been like the thing for a very long time. And this is a business, really. And if you're going to look at it as a business, the fertility companies know that young parents coming in having issues with fertility are most likely going to want anonymous because they're, you know, they haven't told anybody yet, or they don't know if they're going to tell anybody. But if we're really going to, if we're going to be responsible about this, that has to change. And there has to be anonymous donation. Like you have to, there has to be disclosed for the future of our children. We need to know medical history.
Yeah.
That's very important.
Yeah.
And this isn't, you know, this is something that we're choosing to do. And there are a lot of clinics now that are strictly open.
Oh.
Donation. And they have this thing where you choose your donor, and you can also like donate, like if you choose a donor and you don't use all like the eggs, like she can keep her eggs as well. There's like there's a lot of fun new things that are happening that make more sense, where then you meet your donor beforehand.
Whoa.
You guys get to like familiarize yourself with each other.
Have a conversation.
Have a conversation. So it becomes more of like a family, and you're doing it. You're doing not a favor, but I think the value of what you're doing becomes higher.
And
it's more important.
Yeah.
You know, and it takes away, I think it does take away that stigma of this being, you know, I think you understand it more that this is, you're giving the egg and this is for the family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that does position it in a place to go through this process with gratitude for women who are choosing this. Like if it is an open thing, it's not so shameful. It's not so secretive. It's not so, well, I don't know who they are. I can't really whatever. But they're like, no, I'm here. Let's talk about it. I'm so grateful that I get to help you, that I get to help you be a mom. Like what a gift.
Yeah.
What a gift. Because I thought about too, because I remember I called you. mm-hmm. when we were starting to try to have kids, and all the doctor appointments were like, hey, this might not be for you. And then I reached out to you and I was like, hey, so egg donorship.
I know. Like, I remember I was like, I thought you were joking. I was like, wait, are you for real? Yeah.
I was like, tell me more about it, because I was like, I don't know if I want to do that. All the thoughts that you were thinking, like, right. I just started like thinking, like, I don't know if let me talk to Camille. Let me, like, you know, figure this out. This is really a path that I want to walk down. So I feel like that open dialogue about it really does position you to be like, wow, what a gift these mm-hmm. women are giving. Because I'm like, would I ever be able to give my eggs to, you know, donate to someone? And I would be like, I don't know that I could. I don't know that I could think of, like, my DNA is out there somewhere and there's like a little child that like looks like me or whatever. Right. And I never knew about them. Like, I don't know if I could do it. And then at the same time, thinking about what a gift you've given someone. Mm. I don't know. It's a different side. It's a different side of the coin.
Yeah.
For me. That's wild.
Yeah. I think it's a super important one. And I see, as the industry is changing, it is, I think it's going to make it so much better for the future of the kids growing up. Mm-hmm. Because now what you're seeing is a lot of, they call DCPs, donor conceived, adults, DCA, donor.
FOMO.
Yeah, FOMO. YOLO. Yeah, donor conceived adults, where they weren't told until later on in their life. From sperm donor thing is something that needs to change. I mean, there needs to be legislation put down, regulations put down. Sure, like, sure. I mean, if we even go into that,
sure,
this is Mattitude.
Yeah, back to the Mattitudes.
Mattitude.
Well, that's amazing. Let's keep it going. What else? What else are we grateful for?
Okay, well, like, along with the being a mom, actually, I was speaking to somebody today. He's a doctor, and he was like, gosh, you're like one of the only people I know. I have like 80 people that are actors, and you're one of the only ones that's like working right now. And I was like, huh? He's wow. like, yeah. So I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let's be grateful for work.
Yes, honey.
I mean, it has been, you know, this business is so hard. And it's just, there's so many ups and downs and valleys. And, you know, when the ball is rolling, it's like you don't want to stop. You got to keep on going. And it has been something that I've been so grateful for. Mm-hmm. But then again, it's just been very challenging, because as a mom, and I know you know this because you started touring too, mm-hmm. it's like, being a mom and working on location, like, how does that work?
Yeah.
And
so you were just filming mm-hmm. your show. Was it HBO?
Yes. HBO Max. I don't know what they want to call it now. Max something.
Oh. On the go.
You know, Max.
Maximilian. Maximo.
M-A-X-G-O, guys. yeah. It's J.J. Abrams' new series. It's not out yet. We don't have a date yet, but it's called Duster. It's very cool. 1970s getaway driver for the mob. And
oh, wow.
And I play this really cool role where I'm a truck driver, a female truck driver in the 1970s.
Oh.
Yes. And I'm fighting for women's rights.
Wow.
Yeah. It really happened. It was based off of a real person. And she was a single mom, and my character's a single mom, and she was, you know, fighting for, like you would never think of this, but, you know, safe bathrooms. There were no bathrooms for just women. There were no locker wow. rooms for just women. Like, the wow. rest stops were all men. Team drives at the time were drives that men would, you know, do things to women. Yeah, the character, wow. my character fights for all of this justice.
Have you seen that TikTok, Danielle? Have you seen it? Where the one girl, she's talking about, you know, if I could go back in time to the woman who was fighting for women's right to work, I would just tell her, shut the fuck up. You know, if I could just go back in time, I would just tell her, shut the fuck up.
funny because it's like, I know we all love our jobs. Most of us, at least at the three of us here, I can confidently say that.
Right.
But there are some times where I'm like, okay, was that in our best interest? Yeah. I don't know.
That is true.
And then I imagine, especially with you guys, I'm not a mother, but I imagine with you guys being moms and having kids now, you're like,
Yeah. Yeah. We're chasing our dream. We're both living our dream and so grateful that we get to do that. Mm-hmm. And like, you're living your wildest dream. You wanted to be an actress. You're in Hollywood and you're young and you're booking this movie and this TV show. And then like, you're blessed to have this career where it keeps going. And sure, there's peaks and valleys. Sometimes there's like, I haven't booked in a while. And the next, you know, you're on a roll, like living your dream. And then you have your son and you're like, yay, school, birthday parties, yay. And they're like, guess what? You booked another show. Amazing. But it films in New Mexico.
Yeah.
And you got to leave your son behind. Wow.
Yeah. And I have to say, now to be back in gratitude with this, it was, I don't know. I mean, I got so blessed, not only with this role, the show, but the fact that they honored that I was a mother and they worked with me on that, and they blocked me in shooting, which means that like I would come and I would shoot out two episodes in like a span of 10 days.
Wow.
The storyline also permitted for that. So I'm not saying that they like really like moved mountains.
Yeah. We're going to rewrite it.
Rewrote everything for me. It was amazing. But it worked that way where they were able to do that. And they had to shoot by location. So it just worked. So I would go the first job away, my first series away. And I was able to be away for like 5 days and be away for like 10 days. Mm-hmm. And the longest that I was away was at the very end, was 15.
Ooh.
Which was so hard. But then that worked for the next one. So I basically was home for 2 weeks and then got this movie. And I'll never do this again, but I got this movie where they were like, you can't leave.
Like, you can't go back home.
You can't go back home.
See your family.
And I was like, okay. Well, I spoke to my husband and I said, okay, the only way that I can take this is if you guys come out. Like, mm-hmm. that's the only way. Yeah. And we talked about it and we have to FaceTime every day. Yeah. Like, I need like a routine with him. And and it didn't end up working where they were able to come. So that was 30 days.
Oh,
30 days. But the thing is, here's the gratitude in this.
Okay.
I will never do that again.
Okay. I'm so grateful. I'm never going to do this again.
Grateful that I'm never going to be away from my family that long.
You learned your lesson. You know, I learned that this is not for me. These types of jobs are not for me.
Where I can't go home and see my baby and my husband. But here's the gratitude of it all, too, is that my man, like, stepped in. Like, he stepped up. And he's in school right now, you know, and had finals. And that was part of it, too. He's like, I want to do this for you. I want to be able to leave and go see you for you because you need this. But I need to stay here in his schedule and his routine.
Oh, and That's true. That's a tough one.
So I got it. And I was like, okay. Because the truth of the matter is if they came, yes, I would have been able to cuddle and kiss him goodnight. But I was working so many hours that it would have been worse for my husband to be like, okay, so now we're here in a hotel in not so great area.
Sure.
And what are we doing? Mm-hmm. You know?
But and he's off his schedule, his maybe time zone. He doesn't have his bathtub for his bath time.
Right.
He doesn't have, you know, whatever ritual you guys have in your home.
Yep.
So he's off. So even you have your son there, he's maybe not 100 because he's like, this is weird. This is, you know.
Yeah. And then I feared, and then my son went to me and goes, Mommy, when can I come to your work so I can do acting? And I was like, Oh.
Never. Oh,
He's so funny. He really wants to do it. He's like, he wants.
Has he ever been on set with you to see like an action?
No. So he's, but he does it to me. He's so, he, and he's been doing this for years. And he's literally, okay, I need you to go over there. And I need you to walk from there to here. Hold this a certain way. And then when you get here, you have to say this line. I said, okay. And then he goes, action. And so I'll do it. And he's like, oh, no, you have to say it like this. Like, like he wants me to say it where it goes. Even when I'm reading books, he's like, you're reading it wrong. You have to read it like this.
Oh, my God. He's a director.
Yeah, he's totally a director. So that I'm okay with, actually. I'm okay with the directing. But, I mean, when he's directing me 24/7 in play, it's like, start from the beginning. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And then I start filming it because I was like, I'm messing this up. Like, I can't get it right.
Uh-huh. Can you give me a line read, son?
Please. Tell me exactly how you want me to do it.
Oh, my gosh. So he wants to be in the entertainment industry.
I don't know.
When can I be an actor?
He wants to. I mean, he's just saying all of these things because who knows why. But
I mean, his parents are artists.
I know.
He sees you guys doing it. Why wouldn't he want that?
I know. Then I feel like my mom, and I'm like, you're going to be a doctor.
Oh, no.
You're going to be a lawyer. You're going to be a doctor.
Has he seen any of your projects?
It's so funny because I'll just try every once in a while when we're like watching TV. Like, we have Disney Plus from somebody else. It's on our TV. Yes. So we have Disney Plus.
We stayed logged in. Yeah, they came to visit one weekend.
Sorry if you're listening. But I was like, oh, gotta kick it up. For those of you who don't know, it's a Disney Channel movie that I did in the very beginning of my career. And I'm like, oh, this is so great. They have the trailer on here. So I played it just to see. And he's like, Mom, I don't want to watch this. And I was like, I know, but I know it's you. I don't want to watch this. And I was like, oh. Okay. I mean, even a little bit. And then I did it with Las Vegas, I think was on TV. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to see if he like says something. And he's like, Mommy, is that you? I said, yeah. He goes, okay, can you put on Paw Patrol? I was like, oh, I'm funny here.
Not impressed. Do you want to
see this? Like, so not impressed.
Not impressed.
No, mm-hmm. Not at all.
He's like, Mom, how come you can't be like my friend's mom? And they go to an office and like he thinks it's so cool.
It's like, I think the one that I think he will be impressed with is Harold and the Purple Crayon. That's the one, because he has the book. And so in the book, there's this police officer and he knows I'm a police officer in it. And so he's like, Mommy, is that you? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh, he thinks is cool.
That's special.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I can't wait for the day that Rosie can see me on stage doing stand-up. To see me on TV. I remember my friend's kids, the first time they saw me, I think it was Alvin and the Chipmunks or something, who I was in that movie with Zachary Levi, and you're in Harold and the Purple Crayon with Zachary Levi. So they were watching the movie, and my friend calls me and tells me, because she's like in the other room and the kids are in the living room watching the movie, and then all of a sudden her son goes, Mom! Auntie is in the TV. And she's like, what? Auntie is in the TV. Like, they could not understand like what was happening. That is adorable. And I have so many other, I remember a little girl telling me one day, I think it was, again, Alvin and the Chipmunks. And like, I saw you in the Chipmunks. Like, oh, you did? And she's like, yeah, did you see me?
Oh,
like they don't understand the like TV, the magic, like what's happening. And I was just funny. Like, I remember looking to her mom and being like, how do you want me to answer? You want me to go with this? Or do you want me to tell the truth? Like, how are we approaching this situation here? But I cannot wait for the day when Rosie can see her mom crushing it.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's definitely something that I, when I'm struggling with leaving home, like how you just said, you got to leave and go to chase your dream. You got to leave your son behind, your husband behind, your routine behind, your comfort behind, your bed, your favorite grocery store, your favorite restaurant. You got to leave it all behind so you can go be on location. I got to leave it all behind so I can go be on the road. There's certain things, like when I have a hard time and I'm like, ugh, I don't want to do this. Maybe I should think of like something else. I don't want to be leaving. Then I think of when Rosie gets to see me doing what I do, walking in my power, walking in this light, being able to touch people's lives in a way that not everybody gets to do. And she gets to see that and be like, whoa, you know, like those are the kind of things that keep me doing what I wake up at 4 a.m. to get to the airport and all of that. That's very cool. That's something that I'm grateful for
sure. I love that. And I think too, it's interesting because like kids have their own personalities too. I have a feeling she's going to love it and she's going to love you and seeing you. Where like Morrison really is a kid who's just like, all right, mom, on to the next. When can I do that?
Yeah.
But it is like their personalities of that. But I do agree with you and having that, like we are doing this for them, you know, and I think one day he will. It just depends on the role.
Yeah, when he sees Harold in the Purple Grand, he's going to be like, oh, that's gonna my be mom. That's amazing. We have motherhood.
I'm upset that he was not into Gotta Kick It Up because that was a very formative movie in my youth.
Oh, yay. Si se puede.
Si se puede. Exactly. Said all that all through high school. So we got to
We're going to work on it.
Get with it, Morrison.
Hello. Maybe when he's into girls.
Yeah, then then he'll like it. Then he'll be like, Mom, let's watch your movie again.
I want to see those girls in the cheerleading outfit.
Okay, so we have motherhood. We have chasing our dreams, being able to do what we get to do. What else? What else are we grateful for today?
Oh my gosh, what else am I grateful for today? I just saw my family. And you know, it's so interesting. My mom just turned 70. And isn't it weird to see, you just get this weird feeling to see your parents like getting older. And you have that, I'm never like this mortality kind of,
I know just, what you're saying. I'm always that person. Okay. You're never that person. I'm always that person.
Oh, really?
Oh my God.
I have friends that are like that too. Yeah. That you have that. I don't have that. Where you like feel that sense of like
be grateful for that.
Yeah. So I'm grateful for that. But it's starting to creep in. It's starting to creep in. I used to get it with my dog, actually.
Okay.
Like, oh, he's going to die crossing the road or, you know, and then I got it with Morrison sometimes, like if he's in the hands of somebody else. But I started to get it with my parents where like, wow, this is like life is not forever, you know, and we have to like cherish these moments that we have and celebrate together and create memories, like create memories. That was, that's one thing that I've been, it's time, actually. If you're going to break it down, it's actually time. Giving time. And even like going back to work, being away for work and coming back, it's giving time, right? Not just my body being there in the presence of my family, but actually like putting my phone down, putting work down, and giving time and conversation and an ear listening to the other person. You know? And really connecting. And that's something that I'm starting to realize a lot more, especially when you go away and you come back. Like, how big does Rosie look when it's only been like, like a week or something, right? Like everything has changed. She's
and
like a
I'll
big
get
girl.
A FaceTime, and they're like, "Oh, look, she's saying this new thing now." I'm like, "No, don't say it until I get back."
It's like time goes by so fast.
Yeah,
you know.
I have a question. What is a memory from you and your mom that sticks out to you, whether it's from your childhood or something that's so special that you're like, I'm going to incorporate this in the way I mother, or something from teenage years or adult years, that something that when you think of your mom, this memory comes like, oh my gosh, we used to do this. Oh my gosh. Like holding my mom's hand. I still hold my mom's hand.
Oh, do you?
Oh my gosh. If we're walking in the grocery store, I'm holding my mom's hand. If like anywhere I always hold my mom. Sitting down next to her, I'll hold my mom's hand. Just
oh, that's so amazing.
I love holding my mom's hand.
I don't. I'm grateful that you like to hold your mom's hand.
I'm grateful for your healthy relationship.
Yeah, we need to work on that. My mom would love to hold my hand. No, I I think my mom, it's cooking. Cooking is a big one. And I have actually started to do that with Morrison. I'm like, you know, like the other day, and he gets so happy when he does it too, you know. My husband's like such a helicopter. He's like, you're giving him a real knife. I said, yeah, I'm gonna. He has his kid knife. So I'm like, it's really hard for him to cut the zucchini with the kid knife. So I'm right here and we are watching, but I'm gonna let him, mm-hmm. if I feel like it's gonna get dangerous, I step in, but I need to like let him do it where we're not just like all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've definitely cooking with my mom and then bringing that to, bringing that to the kitchen with Morrison has been, I think it's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's building memories.
Yes.
You know?
Definitely. Was something your mom cooked growing up?
Oh gosh. She was such a good cook. Except I hated what I hated.
Yeah. Mattitude.
Mattitude was this Chinese chicken salad that she would make on like Fridays or something where she just didn't want to cook anymore. Uh-huh. And I cannot eat a Chinese chicken salad.
Really?
I cannot. Nope. Like it then. Don't like it now.
I used to love the Chinese chicken salad from Costco that just came in the mm-hmm. big package. Love that Chinese chicken salad.
Nope. But arroz con pollo,
mm-hmm.
love. She would make an amazing, I don't know how you call it. It's a Cuban flank steak, basically, with black beans and mm-hmm. rice and platanitos and... those are plantains, mm-hmm. For those of you who don't know.
I'm coming over immediately. Oh,
so good. I actually know how to do it, so it's
really I'm coming cool. over to your house.
I will make it.
Aren't we supposed to have a day where you and Sai have a cook-off?
Yeah.
Right?
I know.
Didn't we talk about
that? We've been talking about this. Yes, I know. I know what he's going to make, though. He's just going to do his, like, you know.
His one thing.
His one thing that he does really well.
He's like, let me impress everybody with my...
This is my one thing. Actually, he's a very good cook. He's a good cook. Oh. He just makes a mess.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah. But I mean, if it came out good.
It comes out great.
Do you guys do the thing where you cook all clean?
Mm.
Or is it just... Babe, look at this mess you made. Can you clean it? I'm eating.
Yeah. It's kind of... No, he will clean. It's just, you know, standards. I'm crazy. I get a little OCD when it comes to...
Oh, you're Manny. You're Manny then.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, man. Just right before you walked in, he was like, look at these counters. They're disgusting. And I was like, where? What?
I don't see anything. I get it. I get like that even on the couch. Like when someone sits on the couch after I fluff the pillows, I'm like, oh, don't put your hand on top. And, you know, you'll see people just like, you know, just like all over.
God forbid they get comfortable at your house.
God forbid. I'm like, don't. Ugh. And I'm just sitting there talking and I'm just like looking at the pillow, just being like decompressed. And
when I come to your house for the cook-off, I'm be on your couch.
Just like that.
Thanks for having me over.
I'm going to put you on the white couch. It has no, so it's like cardboard.
Grateful to be here. Thank you so much.
Camille, is this the couch? That's the couch. Can you tell they're fluffed? No, you know what? My couch is so old right now. We're like in need of a new couch. But I'm like, we're going to go on a vacation. I'm like, vacation? Couch. Oh, this is a thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I would choose couch because, yes. And then I had the thought of, well, when you die, you're not going to take any of this with you. Right?
Yeah.
But the memories will live forever.
The memories of that cushiony couch.
Not the couch, though. The memories of a vacation.
Yeah.
Will live on, you know? So.
You're going to pick the vacation over the couch?
Mm-hmm.
Good for you. I'm going couch.
Yeah.
I spend too much time
lounging,
being comfortable.
Don't change my mind.
But you know what?
I vote vacation. I'm team vacation.
Yeah. Team vacation. Everybody, place your vote. What do you think? Do you think she should go vacation or couch? What would you do?
Let's not forget my melasma.
So vacation in Alaska. Vacation in the cold.
Alaskan cruise.
Alaskan cruise vacation or a new couch.
I mean, that would be new couch for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah.
Yeah. Girlfriend, thank you so much for coming and being on my podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Talking about all the things that we're grateful for.
Yeah.
And these are some really powerful tools that I've used in my journey with mental health, from, you know, journaling and getting it out to my breathing techniques that I've learned, different supplements that I've taken. But gratitude is really the easiest one, the quickest one. It's free and it immediately shifts my perspective. It shifts my mood. Even what you were saying, to bring it back to when you were going through your journey with the egg donor, and once you shifted your perspective into gratitude for it, how everything changed.
Yep.
In your life, everything changed in that journey and in that process. Yep. That is how powerful gratitude is. And that is why I wanted to do this podcast, to share that with anybody who's listening, and to bring people on to share that with the listeners, and also just for you in your own body to remind yourself of all the amazing things that you got to experience, that you have in your life, and to just let that gratitude sit within you and take it wherever you're going for the rest of the day, that you get to just like float in this like place of gratitude.
I love that. I really do. I love that. You are amazing for doing this. And I'm grateful.
Thank you so much.
I was so grateful to be here.
Thank you so much.
And I am. I'm going to carry this. I'm going to carry this. And all these reminders, they're reminders is what it really is, right? Because we know.
Yeah.
We do know. Oh, yeah. But that's a thing, is because sometimes being grateful is just like, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, we know I'm grateful for that. Mm-hmm. But like when you say it out loud, when you write them, when you write it down, it does bring it to the surface. Like when you told me, you invited me to do this, I started thinking, and I that's when I said time. I'm grateful for time. Mm-hmm. Time is really important. You know, and that just starts thinking, you know, that changes my perspective and how I talk to my husband. It changes my perspective when my mom calls. And, am I going to get annoyed with her? Yeah, or am I going to like just be, you know, an open with her and receiving what she has to say? And so much. So I thank you for allowing me to have this experience with you. And now I get to bring this to Trader Joe's with me.
Yeah. Really quick, tell everybody when they can see Harold and the Purple Crayon and anything else you have coming up that you want to tell everybody about.
Well, Harold and the Purple Crayon is going to get a theatrical release on August 2nd. Very excited for that. Bring your kiddos. It's a super sweet, fun movie for the whole family. And Duster, we don't know when that's coming out, but you can look for it on HBO Max.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you everybody for watching and listening, and we'll catch you on the next episode of Fungula. Bye.
Perfect.
Yay.
Okay, let me go stop this camera. No.
Did you hear baby?
No.
I didn't. No. You're like, no, she up.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.